The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon, Tucson. I'm Ray Allen. Here with the Bill Buckmaster Show, filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. Bill is in New Mexico now. Initially was going to be in British Columbia, but had some flight issues. If you listened to yesterday's show with Ryan Hansen, he explained all the issues that he encountered. And now he's over in New Mexico enjoying Santa Fe and all of the other areas that New Mexico has to offer for him. We have a great show planned for you today. Segment 2 and 3, we'll be talking with Calvin Vaker, the Vail Schools Superintendent. We'll be talking a lot about the new school grades that just came out for the state, and also about some of the other issues that are going on in the Vail School District. Should be an exciting conversation there. Then in the fourth segment, we will have Ciclovia Tucson. Kylie Wambach will be joining us to talk about Ciclovia and all of the things that are happening at the end of, let's see, I think it's the end of next month, or this month rather, with Ciclovia. So it should be a good time. October 29th, Sunday, will be Ciclovia 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That should be a wonderful conversation. And today we will start out the show talking about the new proposition, Prop 202 and 203, that are on the table regarding the Reed Park Zoo and the possibility of a sales tax there. Waiting on the guests to get in just a second. Almost going to be here, but first I want to tell you about some of our sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring the historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to visit, you're going to want to go to their website. That's southwestnewmexico.org. That's southwestnewmexico.org. And right now, we are joined by Nancy Kluge. Nancy, welcome to the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about this Proposition 202 and 203 on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you, Ray. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I understand it was kind of tough to find the building. We're used to that, so.
I was close.
You were. Okay, so Propositions 202 and 203. Kind of explain the two propositions. I know that there's a sales tax involved, and how long would the sales tax last?
So the two propositions work together. One changes the charter to allow the sales tax to be charged, and the other puts it into place. So they both have to take place for this to take effect.
Okay.
It's 1/10 of a cent, a penny on $10, and it would last for 10 years.
Okay, all right. Now, tell me a little bit more about how this money can be spent. There may be concerns that it could go somewhere else. Can it go anywhere other than the Reed Park Zoo?
No, it can only be used for capital improvements, maintenance, and operations of Reed Park Zoo. And we've had our attorneys look at it to make sure that was sound and tight and could not be diverted for any other purpose.
Okay. All right. Now, tell me more about the Reed Park Zoological Society. You work with the Reed Park Zoological Society. You're actually the president of the Zoological Society here in Tucson. So tell me more about that, because from what I understand, that's the organization that's behind Proposition 202 and 203. Explain who the Zoological Society is and what they do.
Absolutely. We are the nonprofit that supports and advocates for Reed Park Zoo. We manage the special events, fundraising, membership, and so forth. We began looking about 5 years ago at some of the infrastructure needs and issues that might affect accreditation for the zoo down the road, and figure out a plan for how those can be addressed.
Okay.
We looked at a number of different ways that could be accomplished, and looked at private funding, and in the end came to the conclusion that really public funding was the only way to to make sure this could be taken care of and give our city a great zoo.
Okay, great. Talking again to Nancy Kluge with the zoo here, talking about the zoo possibility of Propositions 202 and 203 passing. So let's say the propositions do pass. What can we expect from the zoo then? Some of the things that you're planning on doing here.
Some of the things that I'm really excited about is a larger habitat for our tigers.
Okay.
Our Malayan tigers, there's only 300 of that species left in the world, so it's important for us to have great habitat. We're looking at an overhead crossing where they would cross over the visitors' heads.
Wow.
We're looking at an underwater hippo exhibit where visitors could see these beautiful 5,000 pound animals and how graceful they are underwater. We're looking at a treetop playground where children could be in a tunnel up at the level of trees and walk at the same height that lemurs are walking through their own tunnel, eye to eye. Who's watching who there?
Yeah.
And an African safari lodge where you could sit out on the second floor of the balcony and look at giraffes, rhinos, and elephants from the balcony, and as well as a great meeting space for people to hold events or out-of-town folks to hold events.
Okay. Now talk about some of the more educational opportunities that we have for children here. I know that's something that the zoo's interested in letting people know about if the proposition does pass.
Education is the heart of why the zoo exists, is to teach people about education, to provide opportunities for our children to learn about science. So this would expand the number of educational opportunities that are available, and also for teachers as well to bring to their kids. It also provides free admission for school field trips for kindergarten through 12th grade. So another way that the zoo can be a resource and really reach as many people as it can for our community.
Okay, now when you set out to write Propositions 202 and 203, were there examples that you followed from other cities and other zoos around the United States?
Yes, and actually that was some of what made me look at this as a choice.
Okay.
I knew about other zoos that had been successful. I got on the phone and talked with the CEOs of Fresno Zoo, of Hogle Zoo in Salt Lake City, of Albuquerque Zoo. We know some of our larger established zoos like Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago and San Diego Zoo are funded by this type of mechanism. And we said, how does it work? Is it successful? And especially the ones in Fresno and Albuquerque said it's just turned not only their zoo around, but their city around and giving it something really great that both for their citizens and to attract out-of-town visitors.
Oh, very cool. All right. So talking to Nancy Kluge here with the Reed Park Zoological Society, let's talk about maybe what happens if, unfortunately, for what you're saying here, the propositions don't pass. Is there a plan B for the Reed Park Zoo, what you think you'd like to do?
We've got animals in our care, so we have to have plan B.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have thought about that. For the tigers, for instance, what it'll mean is we probably won't have tigers at our zoo. They need a larger space, and this is something that we'd have to do. It might mean higher admission prices. It won't mean all the bells and whistles. We'll still do what we'll still make sure our animals receive great care and that we have good experiences for our visitors. You won't see the underwater hippo viewing or some of those features, but we'll still bring new things to our public. So that's kind of what that picture looks like. It's we'll take good care of our animals, but maybe not as many of them.
So do you have any inclination on how the public is receiving the idea of sales tax at the moment?
Well, Ray, what I've found is just like when I'm fundraising for the zoo has a lot of fans. And the number of people who have come out and said, how can I help? What can I do? Has truly been heartwarming. And they all want to share their stories of what the zoo's meant to them, for them to bring their kids, their grandkids. So I've been hearing a lot of positive feedback.
So the election is November 7th. It's coming up pretty soon here. It's, from what I understand, it's an all mail-in ballot. So those ballots have already been sent out, and they should be in people's kitchen tables at the moment. So I guess we're going to have to find out on the 7th exactly what happens with Prop 202 and 203. Do you have any final thoughts, I guess, on what you're hoping for, expecting, wanting to happen with the propositions?
I'm excited what this could mean for Tucson, so I do hope everybody gets out there and votes. Regardless, everybody get out and vote, no matter what. That's important for our public process. And I'd like to thank Tucson for their support of the zoo. We couldn't do what we do without, and hope you come out and see our red pandas that are arriving at the beginning of November.
I saw that story that just came out. Tell us a little bit more about the red panda, what that is.
It's a really fun opportunity. So we have two red pandas, a male and a female, that are on their way to Hogle Zoo in Salt Lake City. Their exhibit there is not quite finished yet, so they're going to be winter visitors like many of our people. They are not suited for Tucson's hot temperatures, so they'll head out of here like many of our other winter visitors in March. But in the meantime, what a great opportunity. They're so, an animal that's never been in Arizona before.
So the red pandas are a little bit of a snowbird.
Yes,
if you will.
Exactly.
Right. Nancy Kluge, you are with the Reed Park Zoological Society. Really appreciate you being on the show today, and we'll see what happens on November 7th, all right?
Thank you, Ray.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a good day, okay?
You too.
All right, this is the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. Stay tuned. We'll be joined by Calvin Baker, Vail School Superintendent, right after this. Again, the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, The Voice.
Fiery chili, decadent chocolate, enduring traditions at Tohono O'odham's annual Chilies and Chocolate Festival. Enjoy culinary demonstrations, Day of the Dead face painting, live music, and local art Friday and Saturday, October 27th and 28th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Throughout the gardens, vendors feature Day of the Dead-inspired crafts, chili roasting, chocolate and culinary tastings, and more. Tickets are $15 for general public and $5 for members. For more information, visit tohonochul.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in here for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, who will be back next week on the broadcast. Have another good segment here for you on the Buckmaster Show, joined now by Vail School Superintendent Calvin Baker, and who is also a member of the Arizona State Board of Education. Cal, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. A lot of stuff happening right now with this whole school grading story that we've encountered here for the last couple weeks in Tucson and Vail and all around Southern Arizona, I guess. You're on the Arizona State Board of Education. Talk to me a bit about the rollout of the new grading system here.
Well, we've been working on this new grading system for a full year. I've made more trips than I want to count to Phoenix, working on an ad hoc committee, and there was also a technical advisory committee that I attended a number of times. And then, of course, we've had multiple state board meetings and study sessions. We rolled out the system that we developed a couple weeks ago, and I'm proud to say that Vail came out very, very well in that.
Vail did real well, actually. No schools under a B.
Yes, and many A's, but there were some issues that came up when it's like anything else. You design something, and then when you actually use it, things show up. So there were some issues with grade configurations and some data issues, and frankly, there's also been some discussion on design issues.
Yeah.
So we have another board meeting on Monday, and we'll be talking about those issues. Perhaps over the next couple of months, well, not perhaps, but over the next couple of months, we'll be looking at making some revisions to tune this system.
Yeah, and changes. So the grades came out early in the month. And then what happened was, I guess the state board, along with the governor's office, said that they weren't final grades, what a lot of people assumed that they were final grades, and they said that they were preliminary. So it seems that it's at the moment a little bit up in the air. And like you said, the board meets again on the 23rd, and from what I understand, are you guys going to have to vote on the policy change that was made with the state board and the governor? Is that something that will have to happen on the 23rd?
On the 23rd, we're going to look at some of the very specific issues, like for unusual grade configurations.
Yeah.
For example, there are schools that are 5th through 12th grade, and the high school system is different from the elementary system. So that question has developed, how do you average those two grades?
Yeah.
Originally, there were two grades indicated, but we have since learned the Attorney General said that there has to be just one grade for each designated school. So some of those technical issues we need to deal with. And then, as I said, we'll also be looking at some design considerations as well.
Now, one of the major complaints, I guess, about the system is that people don't necessarily think that the A through F letter grade system is comprehensive enough. Do you think it is? Should it be different? Or what do you think some of the changes could be down the road here in the next couple of months?
Okay. Well, the state board doesn't really have any say over that.
Yeah.
The requirement for there to be a single letter grade came from the legislature.
Got it.
And we act underneath the legislature, so to speak. That said, there has been a lot of discussion about creating, in essence, a dashboard system, perhaps a separate grade for each component of the grading system. So maybe a school gets a grade for performance, a grade for growth, a grade for how they deal with English language learners and those types of things. To give parents a little bit more detailed information.
Got it. That makes sense. Talking to Cal Baker, the superintendent of Vail Schools. Now, let's talk about Vail. Vail did quite well. As I said, a lot of A and B schools. Acacia Elementary was named a National Blue Ribbon Award winner. So it's not all bad news for Vail. A lot of good things coming in that direction.
Well, we're very, very proud of our students and our staff and our, you know, we're able to do those things because of our community support. We're particularly proud of one of our elementary schools, Ocotillo Ridge, scored every possible point available
wow.
in the system. To the best of our knowledge, it's the only school in the entire state that managed to pull that off.
So what do you think the ingredient to success is for the Vail School District? I mean, explain that to me.
Well, there's no magic formula.
No.
There's no one single thing that we do. It is a web of efforts, and it's also a web of people. We say all the time that education in Vail is a community effort, and it truly is. And that's what brings us success. It's the
yeah.
support of the community, the engagement of the parents, high-quality staff, many factors.
Okay. Now, I want to bring it back again to the schools that were graded throughout Southern Arizona, or throughout the state, rather. Mm-hmm. Part of it is that people were saying that the AZ merit test has a big impact on the letter grade that a school is going to get. And one of the things that I think was trying to be accomplished here was to level the playing field for some of the schools that are less affluent.
Right.
So try and explain that to me and the listeners as to what was trying to be accomplished there.
Well, one of the things that that was done in the design over the last year was to put a much greater emphasis on growth. So the impact that the school is having on students. Currently, an entire 50% of the grade is how much did the school grow students. And we have school districts here in Tucson that did very well. Flowing Wells School Districts serves a population where there's a lot of free and reduced lunch, and they did very well in the system. I think the community can be very proud of them.
Okay, now, again, I guess the question for me is, part of it, to expand on that question, part of it is that you want to see students growing. Now, and you want to see students improving. Now, from what I understand, no one was really super ecstatic about that because the public charters were saying, well, you know, if I don't show growth, we're getting punished for achievement. And then some of the lower income schools were saying, if we don't show growth, we're not going to get money. So that may be a point of contention for basically everyone, it seems.
Well, actually, when we started the process, there was a very strong consensus that something needed to be done to reward schools that were showing growth. And that came from both the traditional public school community, and it also came from a significant portion of the charter school
okay.
community. There's a real effort in the charter school community to put high-quality schools in difficult neighborhoods, and those schools want to be recognized for their effort, just like traditional public schools want to be recognized for their successful efforts in those neighborhoods.
Got it. So what can we expect moving forward after the October 23rd meeting next Monday? What do you think is going to happen? I think it could be positive. Do you think so?
There's board is likely going to appoint a new technical advisory committee to take a fresh look at all the work that's been done and perhaps make some adjustments to the system to improve it.
Okay, good. Again, talking to Cal Baker, the Vail School Superintendent. When we come back from this break, I do want to focus in more on the Vail School District itself, and not necessarily the grading system. I know that this is a big story for Southern Arizona and all of Arizona, really. But when we come back, we'll talk more about Vail specifically. You're listening to The Buckmaster Show, and I'm Ray Allen, filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. We'll be back right after this.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhance Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC CR603-05859, enhanceopenings.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
In Tucson, 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Want to check out Green Things on their 13 acres of gardening and supplies, all the great things that you need to be planting a garden right now. You know, it's fall. You can do a lot out there, even though it's fall. So more information is at greenthingsaz.com. Once again, joined by Vail School Superintendent Calvin Baker. Cal, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, no problem. So let's talk a little bit more about Vail. 2017 has actually been a tough year for the Vail School District. There was a lot of, there were some unfortunate incidents in the district. We had a couple of student suicides. We had the Jaden Glom incident, and then we also had a fire at an employee's house. As a superintendent of a district, these stories have an impact on you, I'm sure, and an impact on the community. So how do you lead a district through tough times?
Well, we were very fortunate in those incidents to once again have really good community engagement, and we allowed people to get involved and engaged. So we held special events, we raised money for people, and we also did a lot with counseling and simply providing opportunity to for people to support each other.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the best thing you can do in instances mm-hmm. like that. Unfortunately, it's just a, you know, sad reality. I know when I was in high school, it was something that we had to go through as a school, and I think every school goes through something like that at some point in time.
We are we're continuing to work on preparing and working with staff in regards to the suicide issue.
Yeah.
It's just a very, very challenging topic for everyone, and we all want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to avoid another mm-hmm. unfortunate incident.
Good. Now, there's good news coming out of the district. It was announced that this week, I think, that the district is looking at building a new high school. Talk about why you're wanting to add a new high school and what that is all about.
Well, the Vail School District currently operates five high schools, three of them that are of significant size, and all of those schools are above their optimum capacity, and we're growing at the rate of around 160 to 200 high school students every year.
Wow.
So we can stick a few more students in a few more corners, but we have to do something because there's a bridge out up ahead. So we had our first community-wide meeting on that issue. We had well over 100 people who voluntarily showed up to...
And that was this week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's just a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
It's a great turnout, great conversation.
Good. Now, Financially, it sounds like the district's in great shape. From what I understand, $22 million to build the school, correct?
Well, I would not classify it as being in great shape.
Okay.
let me just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
The initial or the knee-jerk reaction from most people is that we need to build another large comprehensive high school.
Yeah.
But the cost of that is very significant. It's mm-hmm. It definitely is a solution that's on the table. But for example, the Agua Fria School District in Phoenix is building an 1,800 student high school, comprehensive high school, and they are spending $83 million to
wow.
do that. So, yes, we have $22 million from the state, but that doesn't come close to providing a large comprehensive high school, which is the initial preference. So we're looking at other things like adding classrooms to existing schools, That's kind of tough, but we're looking at that. We're also looking at other online, other scheduling things that might create more capacity. Right now we're in the brainstorming stage of how are we going to deal with the fact that we do not have enough facilities for high school in the future.
So is there an option for a smaller type of high school? I mean, that's not comprehensive. I mean,
excuse me. We already have several of those, and that certainly is an option.
Okay.
One of the issues is what is high school going to look like in the future?
Yeah.
And for most of us, we tend to want to recreate the kind of school that we went to, especially if we had a good experience. But things are shifting. For example, even though we have outstanding high schools and kids are involved, we had checked last week and ran the numbers, and of our 3,800 high school students, only 1,200 of them actually participated in one or more sports.
Wow.
So that's 1/4, right? And one out of every four students. But yet the cost of providing competitive athletic facilities is almost 1/3 the cost of a large comprehensive high school. So should we continue to do that? Should we not? The last high school we built, we don't have any competitive athletics.
And what school is that?
That's Andrada High School, on Andrada Polytech. It's a school focused on helping or on guiding students through a specific pathway so they come out of high school with specific skill set and be ready for college.
So you're in the brainstorming stages right now. Is there a timeline on this, or is it just out there now for discussion?
We have 2 more years max, so we have to do something soon.
Got it. Now, it seems the Vail School District is at least one of many driving forces for development of the town of Vail. A lot of people move to the town because the schools are good. It's something that you as a superintendent must be proud of.
We are very proud of our Vail community. And let me just note that it's not a town, because the Vail School District boundaries... first off, Vail is not an incorporated city, so there are no boundaries to Vail. And then about half of our school district, or half of the students in our district, actually live in the city of Tucson, and the other half live in an unincorporated area.
I stand correct.
No, it's not a correction.
It's corrected on that one.
Yeah, just a clarification.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so do you suspect that the addition of Caterpillar, the more jobs that are coming at Raytheon, and some of the other good economic news for Southern Arizona will have a continuing impact? You know, you talk about growth. A lot of that is going to have an impact on the Vail's school district, right?
Right. We are seeing growth from all those companies that you referenced, and then also a big potential impact for the district is the copper mine up in the Sonora area. If should that begin, and we certainly don't take a position pro or con that development, but we need to be thinking about how we would respond if it does occur.
Got it. Now, I want to address a question that I have for you about something that the Vail schools differ from other schools in that they're year-round. Do you think that there's any pro to the year-round education way of doing it rather than the regular way?
Right. We are on a what we call a traditional modified calendar, which means that we have a very short summer, and we just finished a 3-week break. As we mentioned earlier, there's no one silver bullet, no one thing that changes educational outcomes, but there's no question that our extended calendar is a help to us. But for 2 reasons. One, it gives us opportunity to do remedial work. We call it reteaching during the school year to help kids, rather than saying, well, you're failing, so you need to take summer school next summer. We catch them at the end of 9 weeks and get them help. And the second thing is just the simple reality that kids and teachers need breaks. And but the last week before our fall break, everyone was tired. Discipline issues were up. Parent complaints were up. Everything. Teachers were tired. We took the break. We're back now. And there's a night and day difference from the week right before the break to the week after. And and so we push hard and then we take a break. We push hard, we take a break, and it just fits the way we function.
And it helps alleviate some of that pressure, I guess.
Right.
So let's talk about some of the certification rules that the state has changed. I know that there are teacher shortages in Southern mm-hmm. Arizona, and it's definitely an issue. Is it something that Vail's had to deal with?
We have been very aggressive in our response to the teacher shortage, and we're very proud to report that we started the school year fully staffed.
Wow.
For the first time in several years. And we did that primarily by pulling people in who had not gone through a traditional certification process, but they were people that we knew and that we had that were competent people. Many of them, most of them, were parents in our school district. So we already had a relationship with them. And so we are helping them to become certified as they are teaching in our classrooms. And nothing is perfect. And this is maybe not the absolute the best solution would be to raise teacher salaries so that we have a line at the door.
Yeah.
But since we do not have control of that within the school district, we are doing what we can, and it's working well.
And so you found creative solutions to help fix the problem, essentially.
Well, to at least patch over the problem.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, the problem is that teachers are not being paid enough.
They're not paid enough, yeah, right. and that makes sense. Cal Baker, Vail School Superintendent, also a member of the Arizona State Board of Education. We'll see what happens on Monday, the 23rd, with that meeting up in Phoenix, and we hope you don't have to go up there too much.
Thank you, so, Ray.
Thanks for being on the program, and we'll be right back after this on the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, talking about Ciclovia next. We'll be right back.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Good afternoon, Tucson. It is 12:50 now at the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. And right now we are joined by Kylie Walczak, who is the program manager and Cyclovia Tucson coordinator. Kylie, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So Cyclovia Tucson coming up, the fall version, Sunday, October 29th. 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. along South 12th Avenue. Give me a quick history of where the idea for Cyclovia came from and talk about the goal of the event.
Sure. So we started this event in Tucson in 2010. So believe it or not, this is our eighth year of having this event in Tucson. It switched to a biannual format in 2013. So now we have a spring and a fall event, which, you know, as shortly as a couple years ago, used to kick off our cool weather season for biking and riding, but not so much anymore, at least this year.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, really, this was an event that folks saw happening in first Latin America, started in Bogota, Colombia, and sort of moved its way up north. And a lot of bigger cities really grasped onto the idea as a way to sort of elevate the conversation about streets as public space and how streets connect people to one another, to businesses, to destinations like schools. And really, it's become a way for communities to celebrate their unique identities and what they've got going on. And it just seems to be growing, and more communities seem to be reaching out to us and asking for this event to come to their neighborhoods.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about growth a little bit because I was out there last time, and it seems like there's definitely a lot more people out there, and it seems like it's continuing to grow in here in Tucson.
Yeah, we started off with about 5,000 people in 2010, and now we're expecting, we hope, 40,000 people at this event on Sunday, October 29th.
Wow.
And that's really been the growth's been due to word of mouth and a lot of really intense focusing on the communities that are right around the route. We don't do a lot of traditional advertising, but thanks for having us on the radio.
No problem. Not at all. So unfortunately, there is some bad news out of Tucson. We've seen a lot of pedestrian deaths this year. It's more than doubled, and a lot of issues with that. Cyclovia is an opportunity for people to be out in the street and be safe and not to worry about cars, right?
Right. So the thinking is that, you know, Cyclovia is a program of Living Streets Alliance, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to raising awareness about our streets as safe, comfortable places for people to get around on foot and on bike. And the idea is that if you experience being outside of your car and walking or biking in the streets, you're going to take that experience back with you when you get into the car again or you get your driver's license as a young person.
Yeah.
And hopefully be more vigilant and aware of other people using the streets with you.
Yeah. It's just a sad thing. We've seen, I report on it every day.
It's shocking.
So, yeah, it really is pretty sad. So Cyclovia moves around to different areas of town, different neighborhoods, different streets every time for the fall and the spring. Have you found it to be something that brings people together that otherwise wouldn't be together in different neighborhoods?
I think so. I think we're definitely going to see that with this next route. We've never before come this far south in Tucson before, and we've done a lot of work with leaders in the communities around South 12th Avenue who, you know, are expecting the sort of veteran Cyclovia participants to come down from communities in the north and midtown and the eastern parts of our region. But also, we're really hoping that people who live along South 12th Avenue will come out and experience the event for the first time. It's been kind of embarrassing when we've gone and done outreach to these neighborhoods to tell them how long we've been doing this event. And they say, really? 8 years? I've never heard of this event. So really, we're bringing the event to the doorsteps of more people to raise awareness and increase participation.
Yeah, so let's talk about the route a little bit. It starts... it goes along 12th Avenue, really. It starts over near the I-19 and I-10 interchange. Mm-hmm. And then it moves south, I believe, down to Mission Manor Park.
Right.
So along the route, you have over 100 different family-friendly activities. Tell me about some of the different fun things that people can do along the route.
Sure. So starting at the north at the Julian Wash Loop connection, that of course connects to our famous, you know, Pima County Loop system. So we're hoping a lot of people from up north will use that to get into the route. Mm-hmm. We're going to have free bike repair. We'll have information booths with free water, free helmets for youth. We'll have tons of Pima County resources and exhibitors up there. And then moving south, we're going to have a youth mariachi festival showcase at Pueblo High School in front of El Gorrión and Tacos Apson. And really, that's where your tour de tacos can begin if you're interested in eating your way through the next Cyclovia route. There's dozens of locally owned businesses with some of the most famous Mexican food in our region there. So then we head down to Oasis Raspados, which has a new talking mural project by local artist Alex Jimenez. You'll be able to check that out. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a zip line set up in the middle of the street. You could literally zip line from BK's Tacos to Huero Canelo.
Wow.
And try hot dogs on either side of the zip line there. And then finally, down at Mission Manor Park, we've got an all-class Sunnyside High School reunion. So consider this your official call out if you're a graduate of Sunnyside High, any class. There'll be a reunion there. El Tambo, some DJs that play a lot at Hotel Congress downtown. We'll be playing cumbia music and a whole bunch of other genres. And we'll have Southern Arizona Adaptive Sports out with some, you know, bicycles for folks to try who are differently abled, wheelchair basketball, wheelchair tennis.
Wow.
It's incredible. Sunnyside School District will be out there exhibiting.
Wow, a lot of stuff going on. Now, of course, it's fun. There's activities, but there's also an educational side to it. I remember at the spring one, there was a bus out there teaching you how to put your bike onto the bus if you're riding the bus with a bike. Talk about some of the more educational aspects of the event.
Sure. So the bus will be back. You know, I think a lot of people are intimidated by the idea of putting their bikes on those racks and then taking the bus. So that's an opportunity in a low stress environment to try putting that on. And then right across the way from the bus, this will happen at 12th Avenue in Wyoming. So right near BK's, there's going to be a brand new, I've never seen it before, so it's hard for me to describe, but I've seen pictures of it. It's this semi-truck that shows how Pima County and City of Tucson Water are reclaiming and treating water so that it's safe for drinking. And I guess that they've done this and they've brewed it into beer. There won't be beer at this truck, but you'll be able to get and sample treated safe for drinking wastewater, which is really important to our region.
Cool.
We're also going to have the Pima County Living with Urban Wildlife trailer out telling people about how to interact with javelina and coyotes that are in our area.
Okay. Neat. Now, I last year, my church and I, we dedicated ourselves to volunteering at an intersection where we did traffic control. So I know that there's a lot of, it's a big volunteer effort, big volunteer push. If someone, like an organization or a church or something like that, wants to get involved and volunteer, how do they do that? Or if it's just an individual, can they volunteer?
Absolutely. We're actually kind of in need of a lot of volunteers for this event. If you go to our website, cycloviatucson.org, there's a tab where you can click on that says volunteer. And then you can be an intersection volunteer like your church did with a bunch of other friends, or you can be an individual intersection volunteer. And we split those shifts up into morning and afternoon shifts so the that you can still go out and have fun on the route and do a little bit of service work for half the day. So you really just follow the links on our website, and you'll be able to pick an intersection, pick a shift. You get a really cool safety green T-shirt if you volunteer.
Nice. And so again, that was cycloviatucson.com.
.org.
.org, sorry.
It's okay.
This event is going to be October 29th from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. along South 12th Avenue. It's Tucson is a big bike community. I mean, a lot of people ride bikes out here. I have a road bike and a mountain bike. I mean, and I'm looking to get a commuter bike. So it's a good opportunity for people to, and it's not only bikes, it's walking, jogging, right, all kinds of things, right?
It is, but I'll say this. We were at a University of Arizona primarily freshman college classroom earlier this week recruiting volunteers, and we asked them how many of them lived within 1 mile of campus, and the majority of them raised their hands, and we asked them, how many of you bike? And none of them raised their hands. Hmm. And it was shocking to me, and we had a conversation about why that is, and they said they don't perceive that it feels safe to them to ride their bikes in Tucson.
Oh, that's not good. So safety awareness is going to be a big push, I guess, here,
right,
in the city. All right. Well, I really appreciate Kylie Walczak. Thank you so much for being on the show today. We have to finish up here, but it should be a fun event. I'm looking forward to it. Again, we'll be out there helping out. So.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for helping.
Yeah, no problem. This has been the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. He will be back on Monday, but tomorrow Dan Shear will have the media roundtable and a whole lot of other good stuff on the show. So be sure to tune in then, and be sure to hang out with us all the time. I'm usually on this side of the glass producing the show, but of course I'm here now hosting for you, and we'll be back tomorrow. Again, the Buckmaster Show, 1030 KVOI, The Voice.